I wonder if you've ever had an invite to something and you were absolutely blown away. You thought, never in the world did I think that I was going to get an invite. Maybe it was to a place or an event, but or something that you never thought your last name would be on it. What was that invitation? What was the invite to? What were the specifics and the intricacies involved in the invite? I bet you remember it. Well, my name's Keith Harcombe. I'm the lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. Great to be back with you in the worshiping community after a breakaway visiting family. But never more have I been more convinced that we need to continue to follow Jesus today. Amen? And we start our vision series off today. And our vision here at Palm Harbor, as some of you know, and as you might have heard, those who've been here for a while, you're going to say it with me, is what? It's to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, hopefully some of you will say that a bit louder as the 6 weeks goes on, as you become more convinced that this is a good thing to do, and you should lead other people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ too. But we'll get more into that as our time goes on. Yeah, and that's our main shaping statement, and for the next 5 weeks, so today and the next 5 weeks, we will continue on this theme as our identity. Identity is what the church should be. If you took a DNA sample of the church, or this church specifically, the main identity of the church is that it's leading others to who? Jesus Christ. You're getting better. It's like getting a thumbprint. It's getting a thumbprint and taking that thumbprint and taking a test or a swab of that. And that's the main thing that the church, big C, that this church and other churches around Florida should have. It's their identity. And the five values we have, or some things that we focus on that are key to us flourishing in being able to do that, we're going to list them here for you. We're going to talk about it in the next couple of weeks. The first one is open-hearted generosity. We believe that giving and being a part of and having more buy-in to the kingdom of God in Florida is through open-hearted generosity. Our next one is excellence in Christian development. Everything that we do on this campus, through all of our programs, through Stars and Comets, through Robin's Nest Preschool, through our Christian school, has an excellence on Christian development. The next one is to have a continuous focus on the future. So everything we do is about having our children also engage and follow Jesus. Because when there's children in the sanctuary, everybody's happy. Amen? Yeah, everyone wants to see children in the sanctuary. How do we get them here? Next one is a commitment to missions. We have mission outreach here. This church has always had a great engagement in missions, both locally, regionally, and internationally. And then finally, you can't do all these things unless you've got what? Passionate participation. Be engaged, be a part of whatever's going on, no matter what it is. Yeah, we won't do it half-heartedly. We won't do it like in a place like, this is okay, let's just go to church. We want to be there. We want to be a part of leading people to Jesus. So more about that as the time goes on, as our time together goes on these next 6 weeks. And our classes on Wednesday and Monday and Wednesday and on Sunday school will all be based on the same thing, that we are leading people to Jesus, and this is the way we do it through our vision series. So everybody, when you're involved in the class on Thursday, the Next Steps class, this will point to, hey, we think it's a good idea if you get involved in our identity series. This is who we are. So when you leave here, you know this vision, you know this identity. I had an invitation a long time ago. I had an invitation to a place. It was a Bible study. Now, I grew up as a nominal Christian. By a nominal Christian, I mean I had a Bible under my pillow before I went to bed at night. It was kind of like a superstitious kind of thing. It was a King James Bible. Every now and then, I brought it out
flick through it and put it back under my pillow. Now, you know that that's not a good way to follow Jesus, right? Right, so, and somebody invited me to read it. Mike Brown, he was a normal person, an average guy, who at the time I was just new in the Navy in my previous career, and he invited me to actually read the scripture. He said, why don't you read John 15? You understand that, right? John 15, John 15:4, I am the vine, you are the branches, he remains in me, will flourish, and I will remain in him. And I've never forgotten that scripture, because he invited me to read it. He didn't say to me, hey, get that Bible out from under your pillow and read it, it's getting dusty. No, he didn't say that. He just said to me, hey, why don't you read John 15? So Mike invited me to read the scriptures. He was just an average guy. Somebody else that was nothing like Mike Brown also invited me to do something that changed my life. Steve Martin was on a ship with me, and we would meet at night to have fellowship together. We'd read the scripture together, and then one day we got to the part where it talked about baptism. And he invited me to be baptized in Bermuda. And I was like, yeah, sure, this is great. And he prayed with me. And we're going to have a baptism next week, and there's 6 people coming to be baptized, and they're going to celebrate the transformation, as are you, amen? Yeah, I mean, we're going to have a great time on the beach. And if you are already following Jesus, by the way, if you've already been baptized, then I want to encourage you, I want to invite you to come to the beach next week at 6 o'clock in Tarpon, Sunset Beach. We'll be there, and you can eat with us too, but encourage those who have also decided to follow Jesus and decided to be baptized, amen? Yeah, if you could come along, we'd love to see and love for you to participate in that. So 2 people, Mike Brown, first of all, completely different dude to Steve Martin. Steve played a guitar, Steve jumped around, he was super excited. Mike was more of a kind of a traditional Church of England guy, invite, gentle, calming. And finally, I had an invite from Ian. Ian was more direct. You have those people in your life that are direct with you, that can tell you to do something, you're like, yeah, I probably should do that. And he was watching me and the kind of person I could have become. I was trying to be the person that I thought other people thought I should be. He said, if you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to be a Christian, then you want to snap out of that kind of quickly. Don't be the person that other people think you should be. It was about my identity. It was about my identity was now in Jesus Christ, and I should be following him in everything I do. Don't worry that other people should think you should look like this particular person. So I was blessed to have an invite to follow Jesus. It was 30 years ago this year that happened. And each of these three people are embedded in my head, embedded in my heart, as that is the kind of thing I want to do to you today, and of course to those who I meet. I want to invite, in fact, all 3 of those people embraced our mission statement, embraced our identity, which is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. These people showed me what it meant to follow Christ. John the Baptizer's life, the cousin of Jesus, this was his entire mission. This is the reason he was on the earth, is to point to Jesus. And he was preparing the way. He was walking through the desert in a camel's hair coat,
kind of like a Elijah kind of prophet, preparing the way and saying that the Lamb of God was going to come one day, and I'm not going to be worthy to untie his shoes. I'm not going to be worthy to even undo his sandals. Of course, he got to baptize his cousin, some scholars say, in the Jordan River. And as he was baptizing Jesus, full immersion, no sprinkles, no kind of like, yeah, full immersion, boom, yeah, and right in the water. As he did that, the Holy Spirit of God in the form of a dove appeared, and he heard the voice of the Father, "This is my Son." And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relationship, the Trinity of God, was formed there, and it's him, God, who we worship today. But his whole life was set up so that he could point other people to Jesus. And so in our scripture today, in John chapter 1, where we are, we learn about how he invited and how others invited people to follow Jesus. If you've got your Bibles with you, go to John chapter 1, right at the beginning of the fourth gospel, which is what Catherine read for us. But I want you to look at it. If you've got it on your phone, just pull it up on your phone there, Google it, or chat GPT, or whatever you want to do. But John chapter 1 is where we are at the beginning of the gospel, where we hear how John the Baptizer, not John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, invited people to follow Jesus. Here's, we're in the marketplace. The following day, John the Baptizer, was again standing with two of his disciples. And as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And Jesus says three words, what? "Come and see." It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. So John the Baptist is standing in the marketplace. He's already seen the Lamb of God. He mentioned it to his followers, and these followers, they've been following John the Baptist because they believed in his message that he was proclaiming that the Messiah was going to come. The Messiah that they long awaited for, that was written about in the prophecies, that was written about in the writings, was written about in everything that Moses said, was coming here, and John the Baptizer was saying. So he had disciples, mathetes, people who followed his message and followed his teaching. So he's standing in the marketplace, and who walks in the marketplace? The Lamb of God. John the Baptist says, "There he is." And off they go. Andrew and the other guy, they go with him. Now, if I was John the Baptist and I had some people following me, I'd have been like, "What the heck? What about me? What about you were following me? Don't go over there. Me, follow me." No. John's whole life had been set up so that they would follow the Lamb of God. And they walk over there to follow Jesus. And it's really interesting. The first thing he asked Andrew and his friend, what's the first thing Jesus said? "What do you want?" And I'm not sure the intonation of Jesus' voice there. I'm not sure if he said, "What do you want?" I'm not sure if he says, "What do you want?" Which some of you say sometimes. "What do you want? What do you want around here?" Or, "What do you want?" I like the last one. I like to think that Jesus was asking the people that were going to follow, "What do you really want? What do you want for your life? Do you want to be safe, secure? Do you want peace? Do you want to have a life that can have an abundance? Is that what you really want? Because you're in the right place." And the disciples respond well. They say, we want to see where you're going. We want to hang out. The NRSV says, we want to hang out with you. We want to be in the place that you're going to be. And they follow him, and it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They follow him and hang out with him, and they hear more of what he has to say and hear the words that Jesus is teaching. and they spend time with him. And they listen because they followed the invitation of John the Baptist. So the first person to invite was John the Baptist. Go see the Lamb of God. In fact, he's kind of a direction. Go, that's the one I've been talking about. So we go, they go and follow Jesus. Verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who had heard what John had said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ or Christos. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. So John the Baptizer was kind of important in religious history. But then this guy, Andrew. Now, the Gospels don't talk much about Andrew later on. But Andrew invites who to follow Jesus? Simon. Simon's going to be the leader of this ragtag group of people that follow Jesus. He's going to be the man. And who invites him? None other than just Andrew. Andrew understands that this invitation, come follow, is not just for him, but it's for everybody else too. And he goes immediately. He runs to Simon. I'd love to have seen what this is like. He says, Simon, this is the one. This is the one we've been waiting for. This is the one we've been reading about. This is the one that we've been preparing our hearts for. He is here. Come and see. Simon immediately goes to Jesus. Jesus, for some reason, chooses Simon, puts his hand on his shoulders, look him right in the eyes and says, "Simon, I know your name. I know what it is, but I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to give you a new name. In fact, your name I was going to be Peter, which means rock, Petros. And on this rock," he says later on, "I'm going to build my church." But don't forget who invited him. Andrew. So John the Baptist, Andrew, these are two people that did simple invites to Jesus. What invitations have you had? Maybe from John the Baptist kind of people, maybe from Andrew kind of people, quiet people, people you never see on any YouTube feed, that you'll never see on any kind of popularity contest. What invites have you had that you never thought you'd have? Maybe it was an invitation like Andrew to follow Jesus. And if you have had these invites, I would love to hear those stories. Maybe send me an email, send me a note or something. In many places we can send notes these days. But I'd love to hear your story, how you were invited either to church or how to follow Jesus. So we have John the Baptizer, Andrew, invites Simon. The next day, verse 45. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. So Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." So he goes up to Galilee, not the south, not in Jerusalem down here where all the religious people are, where the great temple is. No, he goes to the north where Galilee is, where the small villages are, where the hippos are. And he picks out Philip, of all people. He picks out Philip for some reason and says to him, what? What does he say to him? "You're not reading your Bible. You're not going to church. You're not going to the temple. You're not doing all this religious cleansing." No, what does he say to him? "Come and follow. Come and follow." It was an invitation. Jesus invited Philip to come and follow. Watch what happens next. What does Philip do? Does he go introverted to himself? Does he say, "Okay, well, I'm following Jesus now. I'm all cool. I don't need anybody else to tell me what to do. I don't need another community." No, what does he do? What does he do? He goes and finds Nathanael. Nathanael is sitting under a fig tree. The fig tree is a symbol of wealth. I've arrived. I am the greatest Jew. I don't need anything else. I am complete. I am here. And he goes up to Nathanael, who's complete and happy and fine, and he's going dandy with his life. And what's the first thing that he says about this Jesus, this son of Joseph from Nazareth? What's the first thing he says? Nazareth? What good can come from there? What good can come from, he goes negative right away. What good can come from Nazareth? And Philip, instead of saying, dude, would you stop it with the negativity? Instead of saying, would you not go down that path? Look, let's focus on the good stuff. You know, the Messiah we've all been waiting for, he's here. Would you stop focusing on where he is from? If we all did that, we'd be in a really bad place, right? Instead of that, he says, come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself. And he went up to Jesus and spoke to him. Jesus says, here's a great son of Israel. He's a complete Jew. How do you know about me? Nathanael said. Nathanael's like, yeah, of course I am. Jesus says, I could see you under the fig tree. And then Nathanael, of all people, the negative one, the one that actually did respond to the invite, says, Rabbi, you're the son of God. The king of Israel. You're the king of Israel. You're the one we've been waiting for. Three invites, three different people, John the Baptizer, Andrew, and Philip. All of them say what? Come and see. Come and see. If, in fact, you know, the Jews would have the boxes on their head and their straps around their arms with their prayers in to remember what it is that they should pray. These days we're all getting tattoos, right? And maybe we should tattoo on the inside of our arms here, come and see. What about our posture? What about our language, our body language? What is it what we're saying or tweeting on online or whatever? What about it says, come and see. Come and see. It's an invitation. In fact, it's the grand narrative of the entire New Testament is an invite for you to come and see. Some of you here today have responded to that invite and have been following Jesus all your life. Everyone say amen and raise your hand if that's you. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Some of you are excited. Others, you're like, well, maybe me, maybe. Some of you have never heard the invite before. Or you might have heard somebody stand at the front kind of thing and say it. You might have known that it was on the TV or on your phone somewhere. But you've never fully heard it for yourself. You've never fully known that this invitation was given not just to Andrew, not just to John the Baptist, not just to Philip, but was given to you. The vision of Palm Harbor is that we should lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, there's other things that churches have done and churches have got involved in, but our identity for this church is that everything we do through all of our five of our core values is to lead people to Jesus Christ. The reason I stand here is because of those three people that gave me an invite all those years ago. And on the beach next week, I'll celebrate 30 years of being baptized in the sea myself, and I'll be bubbling over with all the excitement of the Lord. But remember when you were invited to follow Jesus. Maybe you've never heard it before, and you have not responded to that invite. My job, my entire job, is to invite you to follow Jesus. Maybe you've never heard that today. Maybe you've never heard that there was a man called Jesus from, by Joseph from Nazareth who came and walked on this earth, died as a sacrifice for you and I, spent 3 years on earth, and died on the cross that we have here in our sanctuary. And he died and was resurrected and ascended so that you might live and have life in abundance. And I want you to know that today. And so I want to invite you to accept that yourselves. I want to invite you to follow Jesus. Some of you have been following Jesus a long time. You don't need reminding. Well, I want to address you too. I want to tell you to do what Philip did and invite one person to follow Jesus. So if you're sitting there, there's two of you. What a joy it would be to see two more, right? If you're sitting there at the back and there's one of you, it would be great to have somebody else next to you because you invited them to church. You invited them to follow Jesus. So I want to invite you today. I want to invite some of our prayer team to come forward this morning. They're going to spend some time here praying at the rails, at the kneelers, and the steps. I want to invite you to follow Jesus. Maybe you need a refresher. Maybe you need to get baptized. Maybe you need to recommit your life to Jesus. One person next week is going to recommit their lives to Jesus and recommit a newness of life in abundance with Christ. Maybe that's you. But I want to invite you to follow Jesus. I want to invite you to follow Jesus in all of his entirety. Because when we follow Jesus, we have a life changing experience. Amen. Come, the kneelers are open. People praying here for you and with you. If you need that, just put your hands out. If not, just pray yourself. Give your life over to Christ. Give your life to Christ that you might experience that. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, who came down to earth so that we might live. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your Son that transforms lives even today in 2023. Thank you, Lord, for people who invited me and invited us to follow you. We pray, Lord God, that we would invite you to change our hearts today, Lord. We accept that you died for us and you died for our sin that we might live. Lord, we come before you today asking that you would do something new in our lives, that you would transform our hearts so that we might be shining lights in our community. We ask this in Jesus' powerful name.